Fred Film Radio.
Bari International Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 5th edition of the Bari International Film Festival, and today I have the pleasure and the honor of being with Michael Radford, who's here to receive the Fellini Award for Cinematic Excellence and to give a masterclass to the audience and the students. First of all, I would like to know more about your two future projects.
Well, which one? Because I've got, you know, these...
Pakistan.
Oh, about Pakistan, yeah. No, I'm working on this project. It's a very personal project about Pakistan, but it's a film in which I wanted to give a face to those people you see burning American flags. You know, I wanted to give a face to the people you see trampling on pictures of, you know, Western politicians. And also to show that these are people living their lives in the most appalling circumstances and still living their lives, you know, and still falling in love and cheating each other and going to school together and with dreams and hopes and ambitions, which are very much part of the world in which we live, and in every situation you find is a common theme. So that's what I'm doing. I just finished a movie with Shirley MacLaine and Christopher Plummer, which is a romantic comedy, which has a little link to Italy because it's about a woman who dreams of recreating the famous scene, the Fontana di Trevi, but she's 80 years old and she's played by Shirley MacLaine, and she's looking for her Marcello, and she's never left New Orleans in her life, and this old man, Christopher Plummer, 83 years old, comes, and he's somebody who hates everybody, hates her most of all, and she sets out to seduce him and make him take her to the Trevi Fountain to act out the scene of Anita Ekberg. It's fantastic because Shirley MacLaine dresses like Anita Ekberg. She knew Anita Ekberg very well because they're from the same generation, and she appears, she gets into the fountain and does it, and it's very funny. So there's that, and what else? Many things. I've written a remake of Alexander Nevsky of Eisenstein, and that's another project which I'm very keen to do. It's not a remake really, because Eisenstein's film is, although it's beautiful, it's a propaganda movie. You know, it's not really a story, it's just a propaganda movie, but very beautifully done. And whereas the story of Alexander Nevsky you make up because nobody knows anything about him at all. And that's a huge epic. It's a $100 million movie that I wrote. But I'm very proud of it because I think it's the best thing I ever wrote.
Did you actually block the access to the whole area around the fountain to shoot the scenes?
Well, you can't close it all. You can't get in the fountain actually, so you have to do that we did that in New Orleans in the fountain. But what you can do is you can block it off from about 2 o'clock in the morning. About 2 o'clock in the morning, there's not many people there. Some, but not very many. You can kick them out. You can't film in the day there. But they do it at night, and it's fine. It wasn't fine, actually. It was very cold, really cold, because the temperature around the Fontana di Trevi at 3 o'clock in the morning is like 5 degrees below anywhere else in the world. It's terrible cold. You know, if you want to be cool in Rome in summer, go there at 3 o'clock in the morning.
But how much did you go back to the La Dolce Vita? How much that you had the DVD over there and trying to make?
No, I used some of the film. I used the film. I cut in between her and Anita Ekberg, and between we have a cat. He has a cat, and she's very insistent that it should be exactly the same. So she says to him, "Go, the cat." And he says, "Oh no, he's already caught one. He's gone out. He spent a day in Rome trying to find a stray cat. It's not white." She said, "Well, we're not Anita and Marcello either." So, and then she says, "Now the milk. You have to go and get." He said, "What milk?" She said, "The milk. Like, Marcello goes and gets milk for the cat." And he says, "But the film crew gave Marcello milk for the cat. He didn't have to actually go and get milk for the cat." She says, "Please, please." So he goes, and all he can find is a yogurt. So he comes back with a yogurt. And And it got the biggest laugh in the cinema of the whole evening is when she turns to the cat while she's in the fountain and he says, "I'm sorry, I could only get yogurt." He says to the cat, "Please try it." Anyway, sorry, it's a very funny movie. When we showed it in Miami, people laughed from one end to the other. Yeah, so I'm hoping it's going to be a big success. You never know.
And I was in your masterclass this morning, and what I liked the most, except for the Al Pacino thing that you told us about the orange throne, it made me that I would like you to repeat for us. But anyway, it made me think about, you talked about Massimo Troisi and your relationship with him, like your working relationship with him, and it made me think that for each actor you worked with, you used a different method, because with Al Pacino you told him, you had the guts to tell him that you didn't like it. With Massimo Troisi, you let him do his own role and find his own character.
Yes and no. I mean, all actors are different, but you always have to understand that all actors are vulnerable. You know, you have to understand that. It's hard to imagine that Al Pacino is vulnerable, or Shirley MacLaine is vulnerable. But when they walk on that set, it's like the first time they went on the set. They feel naked, afraid, like all actors do. And my job is to understand that if they are angry or rude or upset, it's usually because they're afraid. It's usually because they are not secure in what they're doing. One, because they don't know you. And, you know, Massimo and I were already friends. You know, he liked what I did. But I don't think Al Pacino had ever seen any of my films. Maybe he'd seen Il Postino. But what I want to say about that is not that he threw an orange at me, but that we became firm friends in that moment, because I knew that if I didn't, he wouldn't trust me. If I didn't say, "You have to do this." Now, what's difficult about it is you don't trust yourself, actually. You may be wrong. You may be wrong, but you can never believe that you're wrong when you make a film. Sometimes you are, but you must never believe it, because if you do believe it for one second that you're wrong, then you can't direct a movie. You can't direct a movie with doubt. You can write a movie with lots of doubt. You can do practically anything else, edit a movie with lots of doubt. But when you are making the movie and everything is rolling forwards and the actors are looking to you for something, you cannot doubt yourself. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to be an egoist and say, you know, "I'm right and everybody else is wrong." What you have to say is, "I think I'm right here. I think I'm right and we should do it this way because I think I know what I'm doing." And then you explain, you say, "This is why." If you can say why, and if you can explain to the actor, you know, "I wanted Shirley MacLaine to do something completely different from what she normally did. You know, the tough broad, tough American broad with a kind of sense of humor, which is the default Shirley MacLaine. I wanted something different. I wanted a completely different character, which she'd never played before. She resisted it, she resisted it, she resisted it, and finally she saw it on the screen and she loved it. She loved it. And that, to me, is all I need. The rest I don't care about. You know, I don't care if somebody throws an orange at me. I really don't care. What I care about is the deep friendship I have with Al Pacino now, where he absolutely trusts me when he was asked to play Napoleon in his miniseries, they said, you know, "Who would you like as a director?" He said, "Get me Michael Radford. He's going to do this." You know? He doesn't.
And we'll be back in a few minutes again with Michael Radford from the Bari International Film Festival. Prefilm Radio, we're back at the Bari International Film Festival, the 5th edition, and we're talking with Michael Radford here for the year to receive the Fellini Award for Cinematic Excellence. But the real question is, was it Al Pacino throwing an orange at you, or was it Shylock himself?
No, it certainly wasn't Shylock. He was conflicted. But he's a great actor. My God, when you see him, when you see him work on the set, he is a great, great actor. You know, and actually, I went to Broadway to see him do Shylock on stage after he'd done it for me. It was completely different, and it was wonderful. But it was a completely different version, utterly different. He's a great, great actor. There are few actors so great as him. He can make other actors better when they're acting with him, just by his, you know. Recently, I've been watching him do. He does a show. He invited me to come and see him when he came to London, where he does a show where people pay a lot of money to see him talk about himself, and they start with 2 minutes of him in all the roles that he ever played, all the ones that you know. My God, what an actor! You look at, you know, you say, is Shylock his greatest role? No, the guy in Scarface is his greatest role. You know, listen, what a fantastic performance! What a fantastic performance! No, he's a great actor. He's a great actor and a great man. He's very warm and generous. He doesn't speak a word of Italian, but he's very Italian, actually. His soul is Italian, really, truly. He's warm, generous, you know, many different things about him that are very Italian, or Sicilian, actually. Sicilian, more Sicilian than Italian. But and you recognize them, you see them in him. He has a natural warmth, you know. He's naturally very sociable, very kind people.
I remember the procession scenes and in Il Postino, and wondering how much did you guys know or feel that he was very ill and he was going to die?
We knew he was very ill because obviously he could only. We had an oxygen tent, we had a helicopter standing there, we had when he ate something. Just his digestion took so much energy, he had to sleep for 4 hours. He was very sick, we knew that. We didn't know he was going to die, neither did he, because he, we thought we were, he had this heart ready, they had a heart ready for him in London. But you know, he was kind of Neapolitan about all that. He wasn't kind of absolutely convinced that having a new heart was not going to change him in some strange way. In fact, he said to me once, he said, I don't know, you know, I'm an actor, and actors act with their emotions, and I don't know, you know, emotions come from the heart. Who knows what kind of actor I'm going to be when I have another person's heart inside me? You know? So that's what I liked about him. That kind of, he could take these things and not make a joke out of it, because it was serious, but he was very courageous, actually. He was a very courageous guy. You know, really, really brave. That's, I think, probably more than anything, that was the thing I liked about him. He was brave. He was a great guy.
Was it tough to shoot the film?
Yeah, it was really tough. It was really tough because we had to keep stopping. He couldn't do half of it. He could walk in, sit down, that was it. The rest was with a double. Everything I did was with a double. The actors lost their contracts because they were all contracted to go to the theatre, the other actors, and so they left. We had to... The aunt, Mattia, broke her arm, so she was out for 3 weeks anyway. It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. And everything was just... I don't know how we kept going, actually. I don't know how we kept going. It took, instead of 7 weeks to shoot it, it took 14, 15 weeks because we kept stopping all the time. And yeah, I mean, I don't know how we finished it, honestly. It had a kind of magic to it, I suppose. But I knew he wanted it, you know, so... and I knew in a certain sense, I didn't know really that he was going to die, but I wasn't surprised.
And that's why why you recorded with him all the people.
Yeah, I recorded all the reading the shot list and all those things to Vermont, and I recorded his voice and his face in close up throughout the whole film in Chinichita in one sequence, just in case I had a problem. Yeah.
20 years later from the shooting of Il Postino, do you think that this film can define your career? Do you think that your career can be recalled mostly for this film?
That depends on other people. First of all, I don't really often watch my films. I haven't seen 1984 for about 10 years, and I certainly haven't seen Il Postino for about 10 years either. But is it a film that can define? Well, it's my most famous and popular film, that's for sure. It's the only film which has got me a nomination for an Oscar, even though they wouldn't, the Italian Producers Association wouldn't submit it for a Best Foreign Picture, because it would certainly have won that. They wouldn't do it because I was English, you know, and that was not it wasn't a proper Italian film. But it's a shame, really. But anyway, does it define that? No, but it's part of a. I realize now it's part of a series of films that I've been making all my life. The first one was Another Time, Another Place. The second one was this, the Il Postino. The third one was a film that I made in Spain, which ran into terrible trouble with the Spanish producers, who were brigands and pirates and gangsters, called La Mula, which is a film about the Spanish Civil War, but exactly the same kind of story as Il Postino. That's probably the best film I ever made, La Mula. But it hasn't been finished yet, and I'm still fighting in the courts to get the film to finish it. And this film in Pakistan is another one. So these little stories of ordinary people set in different cultures, the first one in Scotland, the second one in Italy, the third one in Spain, the fourth one in Pakistan, you know, these films, I'm always looking for these kind of stories, because for me they're the most profound. Of course I make different films. I also make, you know, big films. I make 1984, I make White Mischief, I make The Merchant of Venice, and I can be that kind of filmmaker. But the films that are really close to my heart are those ones. And of those, the most famous, without a doubt, is Il Postino.
Thank you to Michael Radford for being with us, and this is Chiara Nicoletti from Bari International Film Festival for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.